Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven, of course, by Liberty Ford. And speaking of Ford, you want to get to the stadium early this weekend. Why? Ford is giving away towels to the first 25,000 Browns fans that walk through the door. You get a free Dog Pound Rally towel if you're one of the first 25,000, courtesy of Ford. And you get a sneak peek at what's coming from Ford, the all-new 2015 F-150, the 2015 Mustang, maybe an Explorer like Mr. Matt Wilhelm fancies himself driving a Liberty Ford Explorer. So get out there, check it out. First 25,000 fans, again, free Dog Pound Rally towel. Joining us in studio now from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com, Mary Kay Cabot. And Mary Kay, can you give us some updates on some of the injuries, some of your expectations for Sunday in terms of personnel after spending some time listening to the head coach of the Browns, Mike Pettine?
Well, you know what? First of all, everybody wants to know what's going to be happening on that offensive line at center and guard, and he is staying mum on that as for right now. He will not tell us who's starting at center. Now, all week, John Greco has said he thinks it's going to be him, but when we walked up to him today, he said, hey, if coach says, we're not telling, then we're not telling. He said he doesn't really know either. So, I don't know. I still think it's probably going to be John Greco there, but there is a slight chance that they could try Nick McDonald. So
they'd have to make him active, though, tomorrow or later today. So maybe we'll get a little bit of a heads up there. On the injury front, sounds like good news for Ataba Rubin and Kaywan Williams. Any update on Billy Wynn?
You know what? Billy Wynn, I think, is also going to try to go. So, so we'll have to see. They will have some reinforcements this week. And, you know, I think that's huge. Just having Rubin back on the nose, I think, is just absolutely huge for this 32nd-ranked run defense. They need all the help that they can get, and they are getting some.
Mary Kay, you hit us with the injury front. The one thing that I love whenever we get yourself or Scott Patrick or any other analyst that covers the team day in, day out, is I always want to understand the confidence of this football team. I think this is a very confident football team, but after a loss like that in Jacksonville, it can be wavered and also too humbling. So what is the overall perspective and again, the confidence of this football team moving forward against another 0-6 football team?
Well, you know, the first thing that comes to mind is Brian Hoyer. I think Brian Hoyer, he admitted that this was so tough on him, and he was really rattled about this for a few days and really upset about it. So, just in talking to him on Wednesday, it looked like he was starting to ease back into practice and starting to feel good about things again. But I think the key, or one of the big keys for this game, is to let him get some confidence early in the game. He needs some high percentage passes. He needs things to go well very quickly to just shake off that last game and try to get into this
one. I agree with you. That's what I've said all week. Some quick passing game, some throws out of the backfield to the backs or Jordan Cameron on some quick outs, just to get in the hands of his receivers to make some plays.
Momentum is huge in the offensive game. I think when you come out of a game or start a game, that if you don't have momentum, it's really hard to kind of figure things out. So in order for Brian to do the best things that he can do on the football field, I mean, we need to come out there with the demeanor that we're going to run this ball. We're going to set up our play action because that's been our bread and butter. And I think if you come out with that demeanor, it takes us places. But if we come out with dink and dank and things aren't really working, I think we could be in for, potentially a long day. But Brian is the kind of guy that you really need to get him going. So I agree with everything being said.
Talking to the running backs, I know you spent some time with my guy, the Crow, today, Mary Kay. How are they feeling about this kind of three-headed monster? Would they like to see two guys? Did he get any indication what the plans will be for Sunday against the Raiders?
Yeah, the whole running back thing has been very, very interesting this week because whenever I walk up to one of the backs, particularly the young backs, Isaiah Crowell and Terrence West, they're saying, look, we need more rep. We need to get into the flow of the game. We need to know what the defense is doing, where the linebackers are flowing, and that kind of thing. And then we talked to Kyle Shanahan yesterday, and he says, hey, you know what? I don't care how many times you're carrying the rock. Just run the ball. And he also wants someone to emerge. So there's a little tiny bit of a disconnect because even when I went back to, like, Terrence West and Isaiah Crowell and I said, hey, he wants somebody to emerge. He thinks that you guys just need to be productive no matter how few reps you get. They're both like, we get that. We'll do what he says to do. But still, as a running back, we still feel like we need to kind of get warmed up in the game.
Am I the only one that feels like Isaiah Crowell has emerged? The guy's averaging 5 yards a carry. On his 51 carries, he has 6 runs of 15 or more yards. West and Tate combined have 6 runs of 15 or more yards on 128 carries. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm missing something, but I feel like he has emerged. And in my mind, if you said to me, envision a game where you give 20 carries to Tate, I've seen that. I know what that looks like. Give 20 carries to West. Okay, I've seen that. I want to see what it looks like when you give 20 carries to Isaiah Crowell. I think it could look big.
I don't have any problem with what you just said right there. I think our two guys are the guys that ran last week. I think it's Tate and I think it's Crow. I think those are the two guys that we need to get going. And again, to see Crow with a full game of reps, I mean, that would be exciting to see. But again, yeah. Everything comes from Kyle Shanahan first, and you know, so Kyle's down there with his headset and his board. Everything runs through him first. He knows. I mean, listen, and the running backs, the young guys, they're saying all the right things. Of course, you want more touches, but the reality is, Shanahan's our offense.
And to me, there's got to be a little bit more to it. So maybe it's what's going on in those meeting rooms and what's happening on the practice field that we're not able to see that is not bridging. You know, Isaiah Crowell, to see what we see and get those 20 carries or 20-plus carries or that full-time opportunity, there has to be something because the sample size that we get leaves us wanting more, you know?
Yeah.
And you can't say that about the other two backs because we've seen a significant portion of their material.
Have you got any sense of what, in their minds, is keeping Isaiah Crowell from being that guy that's emerged?
Well, you know what? I mean, the only thing that I can think of, and I asked Isaiah Crowell this today. I said, hey, you know, are you sitting down because you were dropping some pitches and because you fumbled the ball away? Is it any coincidence that the next time we see them play a football game, the second back off the bench is Terrence West? I think there's a connection. Nobody will admit that, but I did ask Isaiah about that today, and he said, I have fixed that. I'm never going to drop a pitch again. I was out too wide. I have it solved, and you're not going to see that again. I think there's probably something to that.
Is it that draft pick hierarchy then? Is the only thing looming over his head, you know, as being a draft pick and not being a draft pick?
I mean, he was up a week when Wes was down, so
right.
I don't know.
Let me ask you guys this question. Of the three backs, which one is the best blocker? Picking up blitzes.
See, I think it's actually Crow. Tate missed the block that led to that fumble against Jacksonville. West has kind of been a little helter-skelter. Crow's very physical as a pass blocker, and he seems to have been finding the right gaps, and he'll deliver blow. He's got a couple free runners that he's picked up in across multiple games. So I don't know if that's just my take because I'm biased.
But from watching the tape, though,
that's what you see. You see him succeed in pass protection.
And, you know, I was asking him also today, we have not seen the backs catching the ball out of the backfield
at all.
A whole lot on this right on this offense. And when you are having trouble running the football, you know, I think sometimes you might have to try something else. And what comes to my mind is, you know, some short passes to the backs out of the backfield. Crow says he's great at it.
Self-proclaimed.
We shall see. But,
yes.
You know, I think that, you know, that's something that they could try too or should try.
I think it's a good point. You look at Crowell, Tate, and West have combined on the season now in six games for 9 catches for 31 yards. I mean, that is, in the modern NFL offense, you're getting that at 1 week for most running back groups, not let alone a full season so far of 6 games.
Again, but when one of them steps up pass protection-wise, that's ultimately what's going to open that up. When you sit there and give the action that you're going to take on a defensive end or a linebacker,
and then you slip
out of there, I think. So something's going on there. But again, all the complaining and all the arguing we can do, we've got 3 quality running backs inside of our stable right now. So, I mean, that's a positive.
3 more than we had a year ago, which is good.
You know what? But I do think that when you have all the backs kind of saying the same thing. Now, Kyle Shanahan did also tell us when we talked to him on Thursday that he's never had to do a running back rotation before because he's always had Alfred Morris rushing for 1,600 yards or 1,200 yards. He's had Steve Slayton. So he's never really had to do this before. So I think when all of the backs are kind of saying the same thing, I do think that he has a point. You have to get your yards when you get the ball in your hands. But I do think that you do have to listen to the players as well.
Sure. And just to continue to expound on that, I think where, you know, to Kyle Shanahan's point is, what I would love to do if I was an offensive creative mind is I go, I understand the personalities of two guys that I want to get the ball to, and I'm going to design plays, you know, to get the ball in their hand by any means necessary. I want X amount of touches. And when you throw a third person into, it kind of like mishmashes the whole thing. And it's like, now you've got Wilbert Montgomery controlling who's in the game on what down and distance, not explaining exactly why to Kyle Shanahan. Well, Kyle Shanahan calls a play orchestrated for Crowell, but Terrence West is in the game, you know? And I think you alleviate that by having two guys.
You broke out the old mishmash.
Sorry.
I like that. It was good. Maybe he'll get a call about that.
You know what else? This was, you know, I didn't even get a chance to use this yet in my story or a note, but Terrence West told Nate Ulrich and I yesterday that he thought that it was first down.
How can that happen?
Well, I don't know. But he thought that they had converted the first down. So when he was in there on second and two.
Dancing.
He thought he was dancing on first and 10. So, you know,
whoops.
I think, you know, that's, of course, it's a mental error. It's a mental error, but it's also, I think, maybe a little function of, you know, I'm not in the game. Or maybe that's a...
Or shouldn't be in the game, or
a glimpse into some of the reasons why Terrence hasn't been in the game.
Well, yeah, and you look at Kyle Shanahan's history when he went to Washington. 2010, he didn't have a lead back yet. Ryan Terrain, Keelan Williams, Portis got hurt, so they didn't have any kind of continuity. 2011, same thing. That offense really took off once you had Alfred Morris as the dominant guy. And I think when he says he wants one guy, he wants, as you said, to have that guy. But when you have clarification on a mental error that I think you trace back that game to that series specifically, I think that's where the Browns lost that game. I think if you get that first down on second and two and don't dance, you're basically taking the two-minute warning down. You have three more downs. You're going to run it down. You're either going to kick a field goal, be up 9-0 at the half, or if you end up scoring 13-0 going into the halftime, instead you're down 7-6. So to me, that's an inexcusable thing. I think if you're chomping at the bit, you were just inactive the week before, you need to know the exact situation when you get in there, and you need to help your team win, not worry about yourself, because it also says to me when I'm dancing like that, I'm worrying about myself and wanting to make an impression on one play as opposed to just doing the job that has been asked of me to pick up the yards that have been blocked for me.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, it's slightly dysfunctional right now, the way that it's all working out. And, you know, like Mike Pettine said, it's a good problem to have, but it's still a problem. And they have to solve it because the offense, again, is predicated on running the football, setting up the play action, and hitting the
offense. And see, that's where I look for this coaching staff to truly make a statement and define it. You know, no more jarbled mess, no more mishmash, no more question marks. Define the roles of the players in this locker room and prepare a game plan for those defined roles. No more, well, let's try. Well, we're six games in. We've got a great opportunity in front of us. Let's stop trying and go do.
Right, let's go do. And if I think in my mind the three games that we ran the ball the most effectively would be the two Pittsburgh games and Tennessee, and those games featured two backs, because the first Pittsburgh game you had Ben Tate get injured early, and then West had a very good game, Crow had a good game. Tennessee was pretty much just Tate and Crow, and then the Pittsburgh game he was inactive, West was inactive, and those were the three where you had the most success continually running the football. So hopefully they'll get that figured out. It is Call Your Shot Friday, Mary Kay, so we won't let you out of here without calling your shot on this game on Sunday.
You know what? I mean, my faith in them beating an 0-6 team was shaken a little bit last week, I must say.
Against a rookie quarterback, yes.
But, you know, they're at it again. Rookie quarterback, 0-6 team is what I'm calling it. But I do think they'll pull it out, because I think the difference will be they will be at home. And I think that Brian Hoyer, and we talked to Johnny Manziel today, too, by the way, and of course he's looking forward to maybe getting in the game if he can.
Do you think he's going to?
You know what? Only if Brian struggles and they need to pump up the volume in the stadium, because the quickest way to pump it up is to throw Johnny into the football game. So if they need that kind of a spark, if they need some noise and it's just dead, they will do that. But I think that Brian will settle down a little bit this game. He was rushing his throws, and I think he'll be a little bit calmer. He'll be at home, and I think that'll be the difference.
If that does happen, will you have anything to write about next week?
No, it'll be a tough week for all of us here in the media covering the Browns. All right, that's been Mary Kay Cabot on the Ohio Business Machine Hotline. I guess she's been live, but we'll give OBM a shout-out anyway. Here in the Dog Bowl in Berea from the Cleveland Plain Dealer and Cleveland.com. All right, we'll be back with the kickoff for a little Fact or Fiction right here. Or Friday Forecast here on CBD.